Here's the question of the day on A Daily Walk.
When your number's called, are you going to step up? That's really the question. Are you going to step up? And that can be in little things. What about in the office when they say, da-da-da-da-da, are you going to be the one that says, hey, you know something? That's improper because according to, you know, there's all kinds of moments like this, defining moments of character where God puts us in a situation and we choose our battles. But when it comes down to it and when we have to stand, that's the moment that we have to do it.
As we open our Bibles, we see God working in marvelous ways in years gone by. But consider this. He's doing something incredible today. And Pastor John Randall wants to draw attention to that here on A Daily Walk as we turn to the book of Esther, chapters 4-6. Be inspired as you hear about a woman that trusted God and answered the call of God on her life at a time when it wasn't easy to do so.
God is always, always working behind the scenes in our lives. We don't know what God's preparing us for. All things are working together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. We understand that. He's been working in the midst of a crisis in this country, assembling an army of believers to emerge from this time, prepared to preach the gospel without fear. God is doing something, and so we're in the midst of it. But here's the question that we all have to answer. When your number's called, are you going to step up? That's really the question. Are you going to step up? And that can be in little things. What about in the office when they say, da-da-da-da-da, are you going to be the one that says, hey, you know something? That's improper because according to, you know, there's all kinds of moments like this, defining moments of character where God puts us in a situation and we choose our battles. But when it comes down to it and when we have to stand, that's the moment that we have to do it. And whether people recognize it or people don't recognize it or we're shunned or we're hated or whatever, we have to be right with God. This is so critical what happens to Esther. And so what does she do? You know what? She makes the right decision. She receives the rebuke. She receives it. And that says something about her character. She remained teachable. She wasn't above it. I'm the queen. Who are you, Mordecai? Those raggedy clothes. No, she said, I receive it. She receives it. How do you know that? Because look at the next verse. This is what she says. She said, go gather all of the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Oh, there it is. I mean, that pretty much settles it. I'm ready to die. Okay. Wow. I mean, she received it. She was teachable. And right in that moment, I think she realized, you know what? You're right. I'm doing what's right. I'm going to do the right thing. And if I perish, then I perish. Let's pray. Let's fast. And collectively, they were entreating the assistance of Almighty God. That is, again, what is implied. So Esther's courage, if I may say, became contagious because it inspired others to seek the Lord. They also began to seek him. The decision had been made. And what is so awe-inspiring and powerful about this moment for me is that Esther made the right decision to trust God regardless of whether or not the outcome was favorable to her. That's faith. That's answering the call of God. Whether it goes well for me or doesn't go well for me, that's not the issue. The issue is whether or not I'm going to be obedient to what God's asked me to do. That's what it comes down to. And as Christians, that is so often what happens to us. Do I trust the Lord? Am I willing to take him at his word? Will I do what he's calling me to do? Am I going to be controlled by fear or am I going to walk in war in faith? That's what it comes down to. And so, as you continue, it says, Mordecai went his way, verse 17, and did according to all that Esther commanded him. And now it happened on the third day. They've been fasting. They've been praying, no doubt. Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So it was, when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. And then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. And the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom." I mean, imagine just everything that's going through her mind the 3 days leading up to it. You ever had to face something like in 3 days or 2 days or tomorrow perhaps, and it's going through your mind and you're just, it's so much emotions and you're so worried about what's going to happen and what's going to take place and if it's going to happen. And then you get there and finally there's the king. I mean, it's life or death. I mean, maybe not this kind of situation you've been in, but there she is. He's sitting there on the throne and she's looking at him. He's got his scepter in the hand. And is he going to raise it or is he going to say, off with her head? We don't know. And she didn't know. But as she's there, she steps up. And when she does, he raises the scepter and he welcomes her in and grants her her request. Can I just say, there is a vast difference between King Ahasuerus and King Jesus. I wonder if he's going to let me come in and pray today. I don't know. Is he going to? I don't know. I'm not going to pray. Well, maybe I should. I don't know. The Lord's like, hey, there is, you just come right in. Come right in. You have access into the throne room of grace where he will meet you there at the mercy seat. I mean, listen, just come in. You have opportunity. You don't have to fear whether or not you can approach him. You can approach him anytime you want. And the doors open wide. What a blessing. She comes in and he says, I'll grant you your request. Things are going well. What's next? Oh, look what it says. So Esther answered. He said up to half the kingdom. I mean, she could have said, you know what? Let's just do that. I'll take half the kingdom. But she doesn't. She doesn't. It wasn't about her. Only half? Okay, that's fine. That was basically a way of saying, hey, whatever you need, I got you, babe. That's basically what he was saying. But anyhow, verse 4, so Esther answered, if it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him. Hey, we're going to celebrate this promotion, king. You know that guy, Haman? I'm going to make a dinner for you guys. It's going to be great. Verse 5, then the king said, bring Haman quickly that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, what is your petition? And it shall be granted to you. What do you request? Up to half the kingdom it shall be done. And Esther answered and said, my petition and request is this. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition, fulfill my request, and let the king and Haman come to the banquet, which I will prepare for them, and tomorrow, and I will do as the king has said. Okay, so first meal, first dinner, she prepares this banquet for him. There's two royal feasts happening, invites Haman in. Nobody knows anything yet. Oh, I don't know why there was two feasts. I don't know, but there was. Haman's feeling pretty good about himself. He got a promotion. He's, you know, at a table with the king and queen. I mean, he's feeling good about himself. Maybe that was just, he thinks everything's okay. But then the king says, hey, what is your request? You haven't told me yet. She said, you know what? How about we do this again tomorrow night? You guys good for tomorrow night? You busy, Haman? Okay, why don't we do another? Let's have another dinner. And then I'll tell you. Ooh, this is exciting. I mean, this is, wow. Set up. So good. Look what happens. I mean, this gets good. I don't really want to stop. Hold on, because this gets really good. So Haman, verse 9, this is classic. Haman went out that day joyful with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate and that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and he went home and he sent and called for his friends and his wife Zeresh. And then Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of his children, everything in which the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. He comes home. He's feeling pretty good until he sees Mordecai. I hate that guy. Why? He never bows to me. He will. And so, like, you have all this joy, you're all this excitement, but that right there. And now he's really upset. But it's okay. He goes home, starts talking about how great he is, telling his wife how amazing he is, the promotion he has. Gather around, everyone. Let me tell you how great I am. That's what he's doing at home. And so it says, moreover, Haman said, besides, now he's really feeling strong. Queen Esther invited no one but me to come in with the king to the banquet that she prepared. And tomorrow I am again invited by her along with the king. But all this avails me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting in the king's gate. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let a gallows be made 50 cubits high in the morning. Suggested the king that Mordecai be hanged on it and then go merrily with the king to the banquet. And this thing pleased Haman. And so he had a gallows made. This guy's crazy. Comes home, he's Mordecai. One guy just has the ability to just wreck him. Do you have anybody like that in your life? Don't look. The one guy, one person just has that ability to like, no matter, he's so frustrated. But then he's still happy because he's going to go to the queens. And they said, you know, just do this. Just build a gallows. You'll feel much better. Just go do a construction, little construction project. You know, take your mind off it. Build a gallows for Haman. It's, or, you know, for Mordecai, Haman. You'll be fine. You'll feel a lot better. You know, that's a great idea. I'm going to build some gallows. We got to go on. This gets good. Okay, I promise. Because it's going to be a minute till we get to this again. So listen, that night, there's where the tables turn. That night, the king could not sleep. So one commanded to bring the book of the records, the chronicles, that they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeepers, who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And then the king said, well, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? And the king's servants who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. Wow, here's the hand of the Lord moving. You know, here's the decree out there, going to wipe out all the Jews. But one night, the king just, he can't sleep well. And so he wakes up. He doesn't know what to do. He says, you know what? Why don't you just read me the chronicles? That'll make me go to sleep. Not the Chronicles of Narnia. These are different ones. Those are good books. I don't know, just the records. Just read me the records. Do you mind? Just go ahead. I'm going to see if you put me to sleep. Read me the records. So they start reading the records. He's listening. And then he hears, on such and such a date, Mordecai rescued your life from da-da-da-da-da, and this happened. Next page. Wait. Go back. What did you just say? I'm sorry. What? Mordecai saved my life from those two people? What do we do anything for him? Did we throw a party? Did we give him anything? What do? We did nothing, king. We need to do something for him. This is in the middle of the night. God has ways of just doing stuff. It's so great. I can't get their attention. They won't listen to me. I tried to call them. God can wake people up. So what happens next? Are you with me? Should we keep going? Okay, let's go. All right, we're in it. So the king said, well, this is so great. Who's in the court? In the middle of the night, who's in the court? Haman, who had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Hey, Haman's been working all night. He's got his tool belt on. He comes in. Hey, where's the king? I need to go tell him right now. I got the gallows are solid. Look at that. This is going to hang him high. So he comes in. The king's like, is there anybody out there? Yeah, Haman's out there. Haman comes in all sweaty, having built the gallows. I'm just reading into it, but he came in. And the king sees him. Oh, and he said, hey, the king's servant said to him, Haman is there standing in the court. And the king said, well, let him come in. So Haman comes in the middle of the night. And Haman came in, and the king asked him, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? Now, you talk about pride. Now, Haman thought in his heart, listen to what Haman was thinking in his heart. Whom would the king desire to honor more than me? This is so funny to me. It's just so funny. I love this story. It records the thoughts of his heart. He's so wicked. He's so arrogant. Who else, right? Me. I ate dinner with you yesterday and we're eating tonight. Okay. He thinks it's him. This is so good. And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, here's his suggestions. Let a royal robe be brought, which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, and has a royal crest placed on its head. Then let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor. Okay, then parade him on horseback through the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. What a great suggestion. Haman's envisioning himself with the robe. He's thinking, He's thinking it's him. He's thinking it's him. This is so good. But look what happens. Verse 10, oh, how the tables have turned. Then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have suggested and do so for Mordecai, the Jew, who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone of all that you have spoken. Man, I just would love to see this replayed. Just Haman getting the robe and Mordecai like, what's going on? Just put the robe on. Just put it on. Just get on the horse. You know, I mean, I just would love to see it. And then he starts parading him through the square. And he's saying just what he said. So Haman took the robe and the horse, arrayed Mordecai, led him on horseback through the city square, proclaimed, thus it shall be done to the man whom... Say it louder, louder. Thus it shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Verse 12, after Mordecai went back to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to his house, mourning with his head covered. Hey, it wasn't but a chapter ago we saw in the king's gate, we saw Mordecai mourning with his head covered with ashes. And wow, what a difference a day makes. What a difference a God makes. What a difference the Lord makes. And now he's going home and he's mourning over what has happened. And he has his head covered. Verse 13, when Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his wise men and his wife Zeresh said to him, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him. Ouch. Verse 14, but while they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs came and hastened to bring Haman to the banquet, which Esther had prepared. We'll pause there. I mean, this is just... It's the kids. They get downstairs, the kids. I'm thinking of our children's ministry workers. But this is what I want you to take away tonight. If you look back at this story, as we're doing this evening, I mean, it is as bad as it could possibly be. I mean, one minute, it's like everything is miserable. It's, I mean, ashes and I can't and never going to do something, go before. And then suddenly things begin to change. You have no power to do it. You're stepping out in faith. You're taking radical steps and you're not really sure what it's going to turn out like. There's a major risk factor. There's a cost. And then you start moving in that direction. And then the Lord starts working in ways that you couldn't have planned out and moving things around and moving in people's hearts and opening doors and shutting doors and turning the tables. This blesses me so much because there were so many things that were going on that were unseen, both against Esther and Mordecai and for Esther and Mordecai. There is, in the pages of this story, there is a battle, an unseen spiritual battle that was going on. Weapons formed against God's people, and yet God was defending his people. Oh, it looked bad. And it may look bad for you tonight, but God is still God, and he is still able, and he has ways. And if anything, I would like to encourage our hearts tonight to trust him, to believe that he knows what he's doing, that he is for us, even when it seems like everything is against us. It's just, look at the word of God, see. And how do you know tonight, how do I know whether or not God has brought us to this moment for such a time as this? He's brought us here and now I'm going to speak to you, congregation, church family, personally here for a moment. I do believe that God has brought us to this season, to this moment right now. And he is doing something that is unique that I've never seen take place in the whole time that I've been here. I'm not the only one who sees that, because if it was just me, that would be something, but it's not. God is doing something. And I just kind of stand back in awe of it and am amazed at it. And I just keep saying, God, keep doing it. Whatever that is, I don't have an explanation and I don't know how, and it's probably good that I don't. It's just the Holy Spirit. It's just the word of God. It's the power of God. And I believe that God, and he's doing it in other places as well, but there is something unique about what God is doing with you, with us as a church family right now in this moment. It's evident. And I know that you bear witness to that and we're seeing it. And I'm in awe of it and I'm excited about it. And sometimes I don't really know how to, but the Lord knows. And I just keep walking it out by faith and trusting in him. And you guys are such a blessing, because this isn't me. This is us. This is the church. This is the body of Christ coming together, believing, trusting in God, standing in faith, worshiping the Lord unashamed, proclaiming the gospel. We're not backing down. We just keep moving forward. And yeah, you can feel the pushback and the opposition. And it's like, we're going to press through that. And it's just an awesome time to be a Christian. You know? That's what I want to say to you. I believe we are at such a time as this moment. And so here we are. And what that looks like in the days forthcoming, I don't know. I just want to be a part of it. From the moment, oh boy, sorry. Man, I hate it when that happens. But you know, it's just unexpected. But I'm going to share it personally with you, transparently. From the moment I got saved at 18, 2 years ago. I was many years ago. Sorry, that helps. Okay, I'm back. From the moment I got saved at 18, I had been praying for revival. For a revival since the moment. And again, you got to understand, I came out of a church that was born out of revival. So it was always in, you hear the stories, you read the books, you see the things, and this is what God did. And I would read those things and, you know, as a young man, and think, God, would you do it? These are great stories. I love the story about the tent. It's really awesome. It's amazing. Some people have a piece of it. No, I don't know if they do that. You think they would. They cut a piece off. I've got a piece of the tent, Pastor John. You know, from back in the day. And, you know, you hear the stories and you're just amazed and in awe and you realize, you know, hey, we got a story too. We got a story about a parking lot, and it's like, hey, it's cool. You know, it's different, but same Holy Spirit. And it's like, I feel like for the first time after 26 years, guys, 26 years of pastoring, I'm seeing God do something that I've never seen before. And I'm so thankful. I'm so humbled. And I just, Lord, keep doing it. Lord, don't stop. Lord, keep doing it. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. So when people ask me, well, what's going on? I tell them, I know personally, I'm in the midst of a revival myself. I see my church family revived and awakened and alive. I see people with Bibles. I see people studying the Word of God, hungry for the Word. I see people worshiping God enthusiastically, praising Him without, I mean, just, that's all I can say. For such a time as this, God, continue your work for your glory.
Amen to that. Well, today on A Daily Walk, we notice that God is always working, and there is a good reason to trust in Him. Pastor John Randall is in a study of Esther. And we hope and pray you were left encouraged today. You can listen to this message online at adailywalk.org and sign up for our free podcast there as well. If you'd rather have a CD copy sent to you, we'd be happy to send you a copy for a cost of $5. Our ordering and information line is 877-242-0828. And whether it's a resource or a prayer request, a question related to the study or a praise report, we would love to hear from you. Maybe you're greatly discouraged by what's going on in our world and would like prayer. Drop us an email at adailywalk@gmail.com or call us toll free 877 242-0828. Have you heard the news? Pastor Chuck Smith's very popular book, Love the More Excellent Way, has been updated, and Pastor John wrote the foreword to it. We toss the word love around rather casually. We say we love pizza, we love our dog, and we love our spouse. Hopefully not in that order. But what is love? It would serve us well to look into this from God's perspective. And Love the More Excellent Way does that. You'll walk away with a greater understanding of the beautiful depth of God's love for us and develop a deeper understanding of God's heart for us. It's available for a cost of $12. Just call 877-242-0828 for all the ordering details or go to adailywalk.org. We want to take this time to thank those of you who have supported this radio ministry in the past. Large or small, your gifts are making a difference. You know, right now, people are looking for hope and encouragement, and God's Word has just that. With your help, we're able to bring that to them at a time when they really need it. You can donate online at adailywalk.org or write to A Daily Walk, 31612 El Camino Real, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92675. Remember, friend, God has brought us to this moment right now for such a time as this. Trust in Him. And then join us tomorrow when we'll hear how good triumphs over evil.